When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live to right here on SportsGrid. It's Game Time Decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh with you here on a Tuesday with Mike Blewett in the mix. Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm great, buddy. Great to see you. Happy to be back in your good graces here on air. Took some time off last week, and it's full throttle from here on out. I know we're going to talk some Steelers, but it's been exciting to see the guys back on the field. I don't put too much stock into preseason games, but the preseason stories are what we live for, right?
Yeah, look, the preseason, we'll get to it. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff out there. But I'd be remiss if I didn't start this off with the Brandon Ayuk stuff. Kind of been holding this off and waiting for you to get in here. But, Mike, I'm also going to hope that you can kind of handle the heavy lifting. What the heck's going on with Brandon Ayuk? I mean, I don't know. I feel very confused by the day on this stuff here. What's your read on this situation?
So what's interesting is that you find out as much about what previously happened during these stories as you are finding out, to your point, day by day. And it seems like even around draft time, when you and I sat together on set during the draft and potentially waiting for an Ayuk bomb or a Shefty bomb of some sort, it never materialized. And it appears that even back then, there were teams like the Patriots that had the money sorted out with Ayuk. So I think I remain confused as well. Clearly, there's going to be somewhat of a significant asking price, but wouldn't you think, Kev, that it goes down by the day? Presuming no other major wide receivers get injured during this preseason, wouldn't you presume that the price technically is going down day by day? The 49 people realizing that the 49ers might have a little bit less leverage because they're not playing a guy that doesn't want to be there and he is holding in. So he's really a part of the team, but he's not, yet they want to get rid of him. It's a big stew of, which is creates this sort of confusion. On the Steelers side, I'd imagine it's all about the price of it, contract plus the trade value that's going back the other way. My only concern as a Steelers fan is how much does it tie them up on the cap in future seasons? This year, obviously, very inexpensive at quarterback. Plus, and this isn't going to be a primary concern, but it is something I think about, what will George Pickens' mindset be if he goes from the presumed number one to the number two?
I'll be honest. Hey, Mike, call him like I see him. Not great, but that's a worry. Right? Listen, and I don't mean to be giving out scorchers on a Tuesday night in August, but not great to the idea that Pickens might be angry. Ayuk shows up. I think the reason
Do you concur that could be a concern?
I would concur it's on the board, but yeah. I also am so high on his talent. I think it's on the board. He still is the number one wide receiver.
I think that's totally fair. I think that's fair, too. Yeah, me too.
So it's up to Tomlin, right, who is still viewed as a, at minimum, top 10 coach in this league, to make sure that that's not an issue and that that's a positive.
I agree.
And if he's going to be able to handle this Wilson Fields thing, which we can get into more in a second, then I'm sure he could handle Pickens Ayuk. My confusion, I think, with this, Mike, is how a team that is seemingly as well-ran as the Niners allowed it to get to this point. Because I think pretty inarguably they would have been better off trading him at the draft. And when that didn't happen, I sort of felt like, okay, he's probably not going to be moved. Mm. And then they drafted Ricky Pearsall and was like, oh, they're definitely going to get rid of him. But that then even doubles down on why didn't they do this deal then, losing leverage. And it's, but forget the leverage. Unless they made that deal with the Browns that saw them bring back Amari Cooper, the San Francisco 49ers, if they trade Brandon Ayuk, will get worse. It doesn't mean they won't be a contender, but they are going to be worse. And this is a Super Bowl or bust football team. That's odd that they let it get to this point, Mike.
I agree with that, with the caveat that I think many teams have operated like this recently in the hopes that they may at some point obtain more leverage, whether it's been with a key pass rusher or hanging on to a quarterback that you think may get moved at some point. I think that these are fair criticisms, but I would simply say they are probably looking for a situation in which there's more leverage entry that could create this issue. And keep in mind, they obviously did draft a wide receiver. I'm not saying Ricky Pearsall is going to be Brandon Ayuk. I think you're right to say that, at least in the short term, they get a little bit worse. But a lot of times with the Niners offense, and we see this in Miami too, the same system, sometimes the sum of the parts is greater than the whole, if I'm using that cliche correctly.
Yeah. But I think the worry for me on the Niners is trying to exist on two timelines when sooner than later you'll end up paying Brock Purdy huge money is a very risky game. And my thing is, and this is one of the things that I think has been very difficult to figure out, Mike, is getting rid of Ayuk or Debo, right? For 2 to 3 years now, they've probably been dealing with that. And while Debo is super unique and at times feels irreplaceable, he is also more injury prone. Yeah. They're going to now listen. It's again, we're crying for the Niners, who will then just have to rely on Kittle and McCaffrey if Ayuk is traded and Debo is injured. But it just feels like it could be a lot on Pearsall. But to zone in on the Pittsburgh end of it, deal potentially gets done here. We know they want to win. Where are you at on this quarterback situation? Because it seems like they are more open to Fields winning the job, and he has a big advantage right now by being the healthy man in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think, and I was surprised, and you and I think may have talked about this a couple of months back. I'm surprised by any statement at any point that indicated that one of them already had the job. And that was an indication in Russell Wilson's favor back when the acquisition happened. So even after the acquisition of Fields, it was implied that it's Russell Wilson's job. I frankly don't understand that for a variety of different reasons. And we're finding that, at least I was okay to think that, or it was a proper way to think, simply because we're talking about an older quarterback, might be banged up, not to mention you and I talk about all these personality issues.
Yeah, I think my current gauge on it, Mike, is Russ wins the job, but has a short leash, and it's not just going to be a win-loss record that can hold off Fields. If he's not playing well, I could see them moving on, even if they were 4-2 after 6 weeks.
So I'm completely in agreement with this. I think you can't be looking at wins and losses, but that's us saying that. If you look up on the ledger and you're 4-2 and tied for first place, even Mike Tomlin, with all of the gravitas that he brings to him, could he bench a starting quarterback at 4-2? If it was egregiously bad, like we saw, frankly, last year, Kenny Pickett not playing well, but them winning games, Kenny Pickett losing a game in the fourth quarter, the defense scoring two touchdowns to get him a W. That's why QB wins and losses are sometimes off kilter with the way things really look. But you look at the schedule, it's Atlanta, Denver, Chargers, Indianapolis, Dallas, Vegas.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
That's before they play the Jets. We all know how bad the end of the season looks for them. They're going to have to be in really good shape before that bye week, Kev.
Yeah, I think... look, I also think it's just really on the board that Russ ends up getting injured in the year. I don't think that's unfair to project. And then that's how Fields ends up taking the job. We're going to be with Mike for a little bit here. Probably shift this thing over to Minnesota, update the baseball board as well. Game time decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, live with you right here on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh. I'm joined by Mike Blewett. We've got eyes right now on the baseball board. 2-1 Nats on Baltimore. Cubs are up 1-0 on the Guardians. Detroit jumped out to an early lead on Seattle as well. We have the Athletics threatening early right now. Brent Rooker with a base knock there, so 2-1, nobody out. Mike, we got some news today. J.J. McCarthy is going to need surgery. We don't really know much beyond that. At this point, I think it's on the board he doesn't play his rookie season. That could sound like a wild overreaction. Maybe I'll scale it down. So I'll say maybe he won't play until beyond week 10, and it would still require Darnold to be bad for J.J. to take the job. What was your reaction when you saw the McCarthy news earlier today?
I mean, never in doubt for Sam, Kev. I mean... That's my reaction. You knew it. You knew it. Why you and I talk about it. We text about it. Never in doubt for Sam. I hope JJ is better as soon as possible. I think we both realize you're coming to the realization that it was really Sam all along because he's just a superior quarterback and probably worthy of that Jets first round pick a few years ago. But in all seriousness, I do think that this is terrible news for JJ McCarthy, obviously. The upside is that there's at least a reputation that Kevin O'Connell has for taking quarterbacks that are beyond Kirk Cousins, even some of those guys that had to fill in last year, Jaren Hall. He had a revolving door of guys come through there, Nick Mullins. He was still able to sustain this offense to be able to continue to score. Sam Darnold's trajectory as an NFL quarterback certainly has been moved around quite a bit for the last few years, but this is an opportunity with an offense that has functioned well in the past, great targets. He's got an offensive lineman that they just paid a boatload of money to protect him, and a head coach that's been able to protect and augment the quarterbacks that he's coached thus far, both as his stops as a coordinator and clearly as a head coach, as Kirk Cousins was able to have a lot of success before his injury.
Yeah, I think, look, the Viking situation is super unique. By the way, to make this very clear, Mike is egging me on because he knows I do not believe in Sam Darnold, and nor will I ever believe in Sam Darnold. But I actually – so I wanted to ask you about this, Mike, because this is kind of the stuff that you and I typically will always kind of get into. But the sample size of sitting these first-round quarterbacks, albeit small, is pretty awesome. I don't know. Maybe I'm out of my depth here. Is it not Rodgers, Mahomes, and Jordan Love? Am I missing some guys that have sat a year and flamed out that were first-round draft choices? I mean, there's a part of it that always feels like I have to be, but I can't ever figure them out. Nobody ever tells me the clear name I'm missing. Like, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, hey, enjoy watching it. I know the Bears have to play Caleb Williams. I know the Commanders are going to play Jaden Daniels. I know Penix is going to sit. Bo Nix is weird with Peyton, but just if I'm Minnesota, you brought Darnold in here anyway. Just give him the 15 games. You want to play J.J. the last two, I can live with that. But I feel, Mike, that the sample size is there, that being patient with the quarterback works.
Yes, and look, I think we could find scenarios where these do and do not work. The quarterback initially sits for some time, and then he comes in. He's not very good anyway. The quarterback comes right in, and he's awesome. The quarterback comes right in, and he's terrible. We all know the first-round picks are missing more than they're hitting, right? Bryce Young last year, C.J. Stroud last year. You're thinking they both might be rough to start their careers. One was amazing, and one was already has Panthers fans wondering if they made the wrong selection, right? Even though when you look at the offensive line play from the Panthers last year, I don't know that anybody would have had a chance. So I don't really have an issue with anybody sitting. The bigger issue I have, Kev, is that we do this every year with coaches backing themselves, or GMs backing themselves sort of into a corner about all of it. Why don't you just say, we have a veteran that we really like, and he is going to play along with the rookie quarterback, and the best guy will be in there for as long as he's the best guy. It's really, it's a little vague, but that's actually what they mean every time. I remember adamantly the Jaguars saying that Blake Bortles would not play in his rookie season, and he was in after a month. And the Steelers didn't really want Pickett to play, but Trubisky was terrible. So he came in and threw three interceptions in his second half and lost to the Jets. And the Steelers missed the playoffs. Not that I remember every single detail of it. So that's really – but these things happen.
Bill O'Brien – why not just say what I said earlier? I'd never say a negative word about Boston College great Bill O'Brien, but Bill O'Brien was like, listen, I'm not sure when Watson will see the field. It was week one. He put him in at the second half.
I know.
You're right.
This happens all the time.
Here's the thing. I keep saying this, and now I'm going to jump to the Pat side of it. Jerod Mayo might have the most job security in football.
Yeah.
They've been planning to give him the job for 5 years. Just say I'm not playing Drake. Mike, are they going to fire Kevin O'Connell? No, of course not. Everyone loves Kevin O'Connell. Everyone loves him. So even in the world where Kevin O'Connell was fired, guess what? He'd be fine, and he'd have a job next year. No problem. Right. I'll bring this up quickly because someone did say Trey Lance. Now, Trey oddly started a game in a week five of his rookie year and then another game in the back end. Here's the thing that happened with Trey Lance, though. He was given the job, played a game in a monsoon in Chicago, and then blew his leg out the next week, and he was never given another chance.
Yeah, he was immediately injured. We all know the Trey Lance story is unique.
Again, it's a super unique one, but that's also why there's a part of me, up until probably the bad game he played maybe this weekend against the Rams, I don't know if I'd give up on Trey Lance. Listen, because of pedigree and things like that, we got one more with Mike, I believe. And we're going to go through a couple of other NFL news and notes and see if anything from that preseason week one stood out to Mike here. We're live at the On Sports Grid. It's Kevin Walsh. It's Mike Blewett. It's Game Time Decisions on a Tuesday night. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here. We're live on SportsGrid. We're joined by Mike Blewett here. We're talking some kind of the big NFL stories and what people are looking for. Mike, the one that I tried to graciously not hit on with George Kurtz, but I'll ask you about is the CeeDee Lamb situation. You know, Mike is one of the things that Mike and I think often connect on is just being very logical people. And I do think it's at times why we'll talk through these things and we both kind of go, well, I don't know, because this Cowboys situation is illogical. Everybody knows they want CeeDee Lamb in the building. Everything they are doing is opposite that. I know so often there are people who will blame the player. I'll be honest with you, Mike, I haven't even heard many people try and take the this is CeeDee's fault stance. What is going on in Dallas right now?
Well, I think George referenced this a little bit too, whether it was off air or on air. We were talking before I came on, and the dynamic that continues to exist with the Cowboys is problematic. It's been problematic for the last 25, nearly 30 years now of a family-run business, owner and player personnel, Stephen Jones, having so much direct contact. In this case, it's the owner, really, Jerry, so much direct contact at times with the players that it usurps the coach in a way and creates locker room or on-field problems where it shouldn't be, right? It often feels like not everybody's rowing the boat in the same direction. The owner is having his own conversation with a player or own stance on a player that the coach may not be in line with. And the coach, because the owner is the GM, doesn't have the same voice that he would have on other teams. You watch Hard Knocks, right? You probably saw the Giants off-season Hard Knocks. The control that Joe Shane has, whether you think he's any good or not, the control that Joe Shane has is real to run the football team and personnel the way he sees fit. And he's constantly talking with the coaching staff and the scouting staff. I'm not saying that none of that happens with the Cowboys, but I am saying that the coach has to negotiate with the owner on player terms and player preferences, and that's just a difficult dynamic to work in. It's the only one like that in the league, and it isn't working.
I think what doesn't, though, ever connect, I think today I got an update that the Cowboys are worth like over $10 billion.
Yeah.
You would think Jerry would operate with, I will pay anyone, anything, Super Bowl, by any means necessary. And what this isn't what's happening. They are unable to figure out a CeeDee Lamb deal that shouldn't be that complicated. The Dak situation looks like it's going to be one of the more unique ones in NFL history. And that's before Micah Parsons looks to get paid like a quarterback at the edge rusher position.
Dak thing is really important because the way they handled Dak is, we're not going to pay you. We're going to let this season play out. Then he had a devastating leg injury, and then they paid him anyway. And not just that, they wanted to tack a fifth year onto that for more control, and then they ceded that back to Dak. So Dak now has more leverage going into free agency because Dallas conceded on that point. They gave him the money anyway. They should have said, look, you're injured right now. We need the fifth year in order to spread some of this bonus money out. We trust you anyway, even after getting hurt. And then they didn't do that. So I have a real issue with the way that they negotiated that. And people will start to say things like, well, Dak's not worth $60 million. It's like, okay, then who is? We can't re-rank everybody every season and start giving them the money. Kevin, you're an NBA fan. The NBA contracts on paper and to the average fan that don't understand the salary cap look astronomical, but they are in line with the market. Dak's going to get $60 million, and the next guy's going to get $65 million. And in the not-too-distant future, when the salary cap is over $300 million, a quarterback is going to get paid $70 or $75 million, and that's just the way it is.
And again, why I bring this stuff up is CeeDee Lamb right now, I'm not even kidding, in the middle of this segment, saw his odds to lead the NFL in receiving yards dropped. In the middle of this segment. So this stuff is impacting the market. I know there's a, I mean, listen, hey, I mean, you know, if it's Mike and I, you know, something had to happen. I mean, yeah, you're welcome. I mean, little extra juice out there for the people. Mike, always a pleasure. We'll talk more soon. I know we're on the road to football. We've got Dave Sharapan stopping by next right here at Game Time Decision.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What do you say? Well, Game Time Decisions for the people here. It's a Tuesday night. Baseball board is live. It's 3-0 Oakland, 1-0 Tampa. Reds are up here right now on the Cardinals, 2-0. Hunter Green with the baseball there for Cincinnati. Hunter Green's mention could potentially allow us to bring up some NL Cy Young. Before we do anything, Dave Sharapan is here. Beautiful Padres attire. Consig, great to see you.
Great to see you, Kevin. Pardon me if my voice is a little bit rough. I had a rough week here at the Bet Bash. There was a lot of people here. A lot of meetings, a lot of things happening, so bear with me here while we get through this and the Pirate losing streak. That I mean, the last time we were together was the last time the Pirates won, I think. So I've been pretty good with the – yesterday was the brown and gold Padre stuff. Today is the orange and blue. And if they lose again today, I already got tomorrow's teed up. We'll go City Connect. I mean, this is just one of those, you just keep betting against the streak. I'll be on with Wetzel later. One of his many theories. Winners bet with streaks. Losers bet against streaks. That's baseball betting.
It is. I would just say it's easier said than done. You know what I mean? Like, we can't pretend that we've been betting the Padres the day the streak started. Or betting against the Padres. You know what I mean? Now... Dave, I'm sorry to hear that about the voice. If I know you and I know you were at Bet Bash, that means that you were putting the voice to good work, talking to hands, talking to people, shaking hands, and making sure that you were out there in the mix. I will say this. I'm on the Pittsburgh Pirates plus a run and a half tonight. Okay. That is secondary to what is an unfortunate Paul Skeens dropping number. That's what I'll say to people. When I bet the 201, when we did that, what did we say? Yes. We wanted to cash out. And I got to be honest with you, I don't really understand how the books decide on whether or not they will be giving you the cash out option.
Mm.
It is, from what I can gather, inconsistent. I could cash out right now for a Trey Turner MVP bet. Why? Why are you even giving? You won. I lost. Why are you doing that? Why are you giving me $2 back? And guess what? I don't take it. It isn't worth it. I lost. Congratulations, bookman. I have a Vladdy Jr. MVP bet. Again, swing and a miss. It happens. When this Paul Skeens number was under 2-1, if I wanted, I could have just been done with it. But I can't even sit here and kick myself because I wasn't given the option that which I was banking on. And I don't really know, Dave, if then I should stop placing wagers with the thought, hey, I could possibly ring the bell and cash out for profit if the inconsistency is going to just continue.
It's a fair thing to even ask. And I can tell you, we never did the cash out thing here in Vegas, and now we have a couple options of books that do it. It's usually not even a fair price, and you're probably better off investing more money in alternate options to make sure that you get the profit that you would like to earn. It involves investing more. The cash out option is... inconsistent is a good word to say it. It's pretty random.
Yeah.
And it's probably one or two people's responsibilities to either turn it on and then see if anybody cashes out. I'm fascinated. I mean, I do in-game live every night, and I have a couple different apps open, and I love to see the cash out options as they appear. I never take them. I'll just, you know, either bet my way out of the position that I'm in or accentuate the position if it's good. You can't really do that with the Skeens thing unless you have a sale ticket and you have a Zach Wheeler ticket, right? That's it. Those are the only options.
And I told people, I have no regrets that I don't have a Sale or Wheeler bet in. Look, I know Sale's sitting minus 200. I hope people are paying attention to what's going on with the market right now. It is, and I am not saying this as a defense to the Skeens move. He very clearly would not win it today. Remove that. But the market is overreacting to every single start. Yes. Oh, wow, Sale struck out 10. Boom, minus 200. Wheeler had that clean game against the Mariners. He was plus 350. Never mind, right back in front of Paul. Paul hadn't even pitched at that time. They are, again, the market would have you believe right now Hunter Green's going to win this thing. I heard someone today say they liked Reds Cardinals over because there was two trash cans going. Now, that was a crazy statement, but Hunter Green is not in this race. He's not in this race, yet his 13-1 number might suggest he is. And I don't say that as a negative to Hunter Green. It's awesome to see that kid deliver on all the hype that was there. And he was supposed to be the two-way guy. Correct. I remember the Hunter Green high school hype packages and the shortstop and all that and the stuff. I really do. So I like Hunter Green. I think he's awesome. I have bets involving different things. It's just – and let me then bring this up because then we can get to other stuff, Dave. And I don't know how much you are familiar on the subject, though I have a good feeling you are. The surcharge stuff.
Oh, yeah.
What I can tell people from what I've seen today, or I guess, okay, quick rewind to the tape. Sportsbooks were flirting with the idea of taxing your winnings as they hit your account. If you bet something at even money, 20 to win 20, you'd get back less than $20 as it would be taxed right away.
Yes.
From what I understand, DraftKings said, we will be doing this. And then they pulled back. And that's what it seems like is the story, Dave. What can you tell the people about this situation?
It was a major topic of discussion out here in Vegas at that Bet Bash convention. Spoke to a lot of people, lawmakers, legislators, gaming reporters, a lot of friends of ours who, you know, appear on the network, on Newswire and different things. Talked to a lot of people. And it was kind of floated up there. The way it was described to me best was as a weather balloon. And we would see if anybody else let one go to join them. And they were fully expecting someone, one of the other big players, to say, you know what, that's not a bad idea. So for a $10 bet at even money, you would collect $20. With a 3.2% surcharge on winning tickets only, instead of the $20, you would collect $19.68. But they would be the only book doing that. Now, it's small pennies. It looks like it. Three dimes and two pennies on that. But that adds up as you scale. So what that was actually floating out there, and like, you know, at the Bet Bash, there's got a lot of the sharpest people in the world. And most of them, you just have to ask them, and they will tell you that. But they're here. And they're just going to find alternate means to bet if they still have an account at DraftKings. They were just going to empty the money out and leave. So putting it out that they were going to do it January 1st, 2025, after football, made it go, okay, are they really going to do this, or are they just kind of floating the idea out there to see what the reaction would be? And Sam and the boys did a good job with that tweet and talking about it and, you know, they listen to the people. So that's good. There's no need to do this. The juice should be enough. But the legislators can't change the tax rates on the books. Come on. If you agree to a certain tax rate, then they tell you we're going from 15 to 40. What do we do as the operator?
I think of a big thing that happened, and just from what you said, it's an excellent breakdown, and I'm glad I asked, is they didn't get FanDuel run to the front of the line and say, up to. And now we ended up benefiting big time. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And Sig, man, live with us right here on Sports Grid Game Time Decisions. I'm Kevin Wallace with you. Hey, let me ask you something, and I don't know if this was something that you did when you were back in the room. That NBA schedule's been trickling out, and they run to set the numbers. The only thing that I think is different, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. They pop totals as well. We have Christmas, opening night, a couple of other key spots. I'm not surprised to see spreads. We see that. I was surprised they pop totals. I think you've told me in the past that it's almost kind of like an advertising thing. They'll gladly take your money on a NBA game X number of days away. But are they more – my read was maybe they're more confident in their numbers than usual, that they pop totals this far out?
No, the limits are low. And the person that would be making the bet knows exactly the same amount of information as the book putting it up. Just as the book, you get to hold it for literally, what is it, 3 months? August, September, October. I mean, Kevin, if you want to make the total yourself and say, hey, I'll make it 220, but I'll give you a nickel to bet it, I might just look at it and say, good, that's fine. So from the book standpoint, yeah, confident in the numbers, maybe, but it's really if you have – a good idea of who's going to be on what team, at least the starters, yeah, it's, you can kind of get close to the number. And what's the worst that can happen if we're taking nickels? We open at 220 and it moves to 224. Okay. It's going to be 220 probably in game. So it's not that big a deal.
Yeah. What's funny though is, this is why I love asking this stuff. On the money lines, from what I just click and quick, you can win 5,000. Spreads, you can win 5,000. Totals, you can win 2,500. Again,
that's good.
Look,
that's good.
I don't want to act like I've been doing this forever, but especially with the basketball stuff, the memory works. They don't usually post these totals, but this is why I asked Dave, because then he goes, limits are low. They're like, yeah, we'll post you the total. You can't touch it for anything that makes it worth it, though. Right?
Right.
You know, and I wonder how much it even gets, you know, kind of touched at all. I haven't talked to you since I was away. I'm not sure we would have been able to get, you know, figure it out anyway, but the Olympic stuff.
Yeah.
What was kind of the end result there? Because from a television perspective, the Olympics did very well.
Yes.
What'd you hear from guys out there about how the betting all went out and played out with the Olympics?
Oh, the handle was great. The handle, yeah, on the men's semifinal, unbelievable. I mean, I was sitting down at the book with some guys. They were playing it. They all had Serbia plus the points, all the guys that I had. Some of them had Serbia money line because it was so inflated. And listen, the books did okay. The books did okay. Had one of those teams beaten the U.S. in the men's side, oh boy, that would have been a nice, nice handle landslide, little summer bonus plan. But, I mean, the price was what it was, so they didn't get hurt. It just would have been a nice surprise had Serbia or France actually won the game. Women's handle was good, all one-sided. There wasn't a game that they couldn't get a bet on the other side, literally. Said that was fun. We wrote bets all on one side. I was like, good. You know, so you give the people the lines, the action, the times of the games for at least the semifinals and the finals were perfect. I thought that, you know, it was much better. It was a big handle.
I wonder, though, because that you – I told you this. We talked about this, but people were willingly laying the men's number. But I bet you a few people tacked the women on, right? Freebie, let me get it down.
Oh, yeah.
-4 or -5 is now -253. And then all of a sudden the books are like, oh, we got another chance to take them, right? I don't think anybody bet that women's number straight. It was -1600, huge number, right? I was with someone, though. It's so crazy, man. Who live, instead of the money line, took USA women -1.5.
Oh.
That shot was a tough watch.
Was that the guy?
No.
Oh.
No.
Not that guy.
No. Okay. New guy. Didn't deserve that. I tell you what, on the other side of the table was someone who had over 131.5 live, which put that to 133. It was a mixed bag. I'll be honest. It was something to watch. It really. You know what I've been meaning to tell you though? You know they dropped that Aja MVP number? Listen, I know we're removed from this stuff. This is the last time we get to do this. You know they dropped that Aja MVP number? I think before the semifinal to -128 for the Olympics because Stewie was playing so well. And it was the first time, because we kind of mentioned that the Stewie number was too long, but they must have, as you've said, they must have taken a bet on the Stewie number eventually. They did throw the Aja -128 number out there. She was -245 going into the final, and then she was, you know, by far and away going to win it with, you know, she had the 20, the double-double, and everything like that. But it did finally happen. They did finally drop that number on Aja.
Wow. Yeah, that had to be one of those, we may need to move that. Just go get a little bit, see if anybody wants to bet it, and just lower that in case the other one wins. You got to do that every once in a while. I mean, if she turns an ankle, something, she doesn't play in the last game, okay. But, I mean, I haven't seen you since either. How did LeBron actually win the tournament MVP? How did that happen? Shouldn't have been Steph.
I am glad. Listen, Jokic has a much better argument than Steph. The reality is, for the first four games, Steph was actively bad. Like, for the first, he was actively bad. Now, he closed it unbelievably well. LeBron led them in every category other than points, where Steph beat him by 2 total. If you believe the MVP had to go on the team that won gold, it was LeBron's. I think there's a Jokic argument. I think it's a losing one. I'll tell you this, though. I thought they were going to give it to Steph. I got very nervous. They didn't, though, which was good to see. We'll be right back, Labrador, to you here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here. It's Kevin Walsh, Dave Sharapan. I'm going to set the table for this. Maybe we'll do it Thursday or sometime over the weekend. There's a market out there right now on DK. Over-under for the big four conferences in college football. How many teams they get in the playoff?
Oh, boy.
ACC, 1.5. Big 12, 1.5. Big 10, 3.5.
Ooh.
SEC, 4.5. Now, I'll say this. We're used to this. The math doesn't add up, okay? That's not, you know what I mean?
There's not that many spots. Don't tell them.
We'll get to that at another point. I want to ask you about something.
My draft
school ball today. School ball today.
Please.
Was going against George Kirby. Total was 6.5. Did the books need over? Because it's 11-1. It's the fifth inning.
Listen, while you were gone, I keep doing this. They float a 6.5, 6 out there a couple times, and I keep saying it's not Bob Gibson and Don Drysdale. So it's not like, what are we doing? And it's not warranted. Now, last night it was Sale and Snell, and it was 6.5, and it went way under. It was never in doubt. Those guys pitched perfectly. Not perfect game-wise, but those were great games by both pitchers. Snell, 6. Sale, 12 Ks. That's the only time you can really warrant a 6.5. The minimum should be 7, Kevin. I can't believe it.
I have a question for you on Snell. Your number's right in front of me. Dodgers plus 310. Phillies plus 450. Yankees plus 500. Orioles plus 750.
Mm-hmm.
If I put Snell on Baltimore tomorrow, what would their number be?
I mean, we'd have to have about a 2-second conversation and say, make it the same as the Yankees or just under. We'd have to drop it. I mean, I think they become the favorite in the American League. I'd make that argument. I see what's going on. It's not just Yankee bashing. They got a lot of holes. They got a lot of question marks. There's a lot of things happening. So you put Snell behind Burns, I'm good with
teams
that.
Teams didn't see it. Really? Teams didn't see that Snell could have been this? Like, he was showing it just before the deadline, and then he threw the no-hitter the game after. And now he legitimately looks like the best pitcher in baseball. I know it's not a year sample size, but it's a 7-start sample size of an ERA. I think that's like below one. Atlanta's 18-1 to win a World Series right now.
From the early part of the season, I would argue that it might be better now to get him. I don't know what anybody was thinking. I would have taken him on any one of the top team rotations as the 2 or the 3. We know we're going to win a game. If you don't want to put him as the 1 because he doesn't go 8 innings, 9 innings. Oh, yeah, by the way, he did that and threw a no-hitter. So, K-Dub, I missed you while you were gone.
Crazy. It's been a while.
You closed the show strong. I'll be on with Wetzel. You're the best.
My man.
Just a quick update for our guy. I don't know if they call it the crab cake series or something? Like, Washington is leading the Baltimore Orioles 4-2 right now. Just had to let them know.
All right, so make sure you tune in game live. They'll probably be giving out Orioles live money line if I had to guess. I mean, come on now, load them up, get ready to knock them out. Here we go. Look, you know what? Since Dave brought it up, let me bring it up. If Gunnar Henderson does not get to 80 RBI, he owes me a couple dollars because that would be insane. All right, I mean that would be just totally insane. I mean, this guy has, I think, 2 RBI since the All-Star break. I don't even know what's going on anymore. How is that real? I mean, how is that? And you might be like, oh, you're probably exaggerating. Well, maybe I am, but not by that much. I mean, not by that much. I mean, the love of God. Can a couple get on in front of him? I mean, when was the last time this guy hit a home run? He has 1 home run since the break. Remember when he was competing with Judge? That guy bats 324 now. Are you kidding me? I mean, are you joking? This Gunnar Henderson, you got to be kidding me, man. I can't believe my eyes. Like, I'm just checking in on Seiya Suzuki home run props now to cover the gunny bets. Are you kidding me? Are you joking? Are you joking? I mean, this can't be real. This guy's sitting at under 70 RBI for like a year now. I mean, can we do the old, like, pitcher doesn't have it, like, fake 15-day IL stint with the kid? Can we do something here? I mean, how do we move him out of the leadoff spot and he doesn't have RBI anymore? He doesn't even, I mean, 1 + 1 = 9 or -9. Losing juice left and right. In game live tomorrow, tonight. What am I saying? I'll see you Thursday.